How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Emerald City Hockey Postgame Live after a big Kraken win. Oh my gosh, that was so much fun. I mean, there's so many elements to get to in this one. There's the Grubauer shootout, right? Oh my gosh, like that was fantastic to see. The fact that the Kraken put up five goals, Shane Wright gets another to kick off this game. I mean, just seconds into it, right? Like, it's just absolutely fantastic. Like, there's just so many good things to talk about with this game. It was just so solid all the way around. Super pumped about it. I mean, we saw Brandon Tanev goal. When was the last time we saw one of those? It's been like 1,000 years. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun for sure watching this game and enjoying it. And I hope everybody else had a good time with this one as well. It seems like it based on the early returns over here on chat for sure. So gonna of course go start off by thanking our wonderful sponsor. Can you tell it's been a minute? Wonderful sponsor, Flatstick Pub. It was so fantastic to be at Flatstick last Friday with everybody. I mean, I still am talking about it. You can ask anybody I know. I'm talking about it like crazy. Yes, I've been telling Afra all about it here. She's super jealous she wasn't there. It was so fantastic to see everybody. And the ECH community showed up in such a big way. Let me tell you, they were so impressed. They let us know about it afterwards. They were very, very happy with the turnout. Very, very happy to have everybody there. And they also commented on what a great, nice group everybody was. Everybody was very polite and everybody didn't leave a big mess. And they were very thankful about that. So just want to know that they appreciate the Emerald City hockey community as much as we do. So wanted to let everybody know that. And again, say thank you to everybody who was able to show up. It was really, really fantastic to be able to watch that game with you all. B kicked off the super chats with Philip Brickwall Grubauer. Grubauer was so good in this one, and he needed to be, right? Like, this was another kind of classic Grubauer game where he's on and the defense in front of him is gonna let him make some big saves, we'll call it. There was plenty of times where Arizona was able to drive to the interior. They were able to get into the slot. They were able to collect rebounds and get, you know, sequences off where they were getting two or three shots at a time. Grubauer, yeah, the post helped him out from time to time. Yeah, he had to make some big desperation saves, but the bottom line is he was rock solid. He picks up the shootout. He deserves it. He had a fantastic game in this one. I'm kind of liking this whole, like, riding Grubauer thing. I don't know about everybody else. Feel free to leave your comment on it. Yeah, okay. We'll get to you in a second, Afra. Leave a comment. Let me know. Because, you know, Kraken really going with a lot of Philip Grubauer here late in the season. And you know what? I mean, he's showing up. He's really, really showing up just like he did tonight. It was a good one from him. I'm really, really happy about that. All right, you. Yes. I will give you your treat. This is courtesy of Chuck and Shannon from the watch party, by the way. Brought some treats for Afra so I could give Afra some treats when I got home. So there we go. There you go, Afra. Go celebrate the Kraken win. That's right. Try to get her in there a little bit. Philip Grubauer absolutely owning this one. I mean, this was a fantastic game from him. No two ways about it. Made a ton of saves. Big shutout for him. You know, solid all the way around. So fantastic. Gregory with the super chat. Lemon lime Gatorade time, baby. Shane is him. Gruby was great as well. Hashtag turbo time. We just talked about Grubauer. I mean, Tanev. I mean, what a great feed from Yanni Gord. I mean, that whole play, that whole line, the way they kind of set it up like that. Cartier, Yanni Gord, Brandon Tanev, but Tanev there bearing one. I'm sure that's got to feel really, really good for him. I'm sure he's got to be absolutely pumped by that. Hopefully, maybe he gets a little hot off of this. Who knows? That would be nice, though, to see that from him. And then, yes, Shane Wright, as I crack open the lemon lime Gatorade, right? I mean, Shane Wright is on fire. He has the hot stick. Everything he does is just working out. And there's no better example of that than him just kind of shoveling an awkward backhand pass on net and it goes in, right? And I will definitely have more of that later when RJ joins because I could use the electrolytes after flying all day. Shane is just playing so well right now, and it's all of the things that the Kraken have needed, right? It's we've talked about it before, right? I've talked about them needing a net front presence, talked about them needing somebody who's going to screen or drive that, you know, RJ's talked about needing a power forward who's going to drive to the interior. Shane is doing all that, and it's so easy to see how bad the Kraken were missing somebody who could do that, right? Who could play net front, who could play in the slot, who could drive those areas of the ice. He's just brought such an extra element to this team that they just did not have. They just didn't have that before he kind of joined this roster, and it's making everything work. I mean, the other big thing, and I thought Allison brought this up, Allison Lucan on the broadcast, the Root Sports broadcast, brought this up when she was diagramming the Shane Wright goal there and was talking about the triangle. Right. Remember the triangle from the beginning of the year, the system that the Kraken did have at the beginning of the year that they were trying to kind of put in place, and they were trying to play with triangles and all that kind of stuff. And it never really worked. And so it was always like kind of an issue for them. And we've talked about this. I diagrammed it a bunch back, you know, the first couple months of the season. They brought it back for the Winter Classic. Right. And I was kind of scared about that because it hadn't worked. But it's working now, and it's working because if you stick Shane Wright here, ignore the fact that it's Ryan Donato's old number. If you stick Shane Wright there, he actually knows how to play there, right? Like, he can actually be the guy in the slot to make the triangle work. And all of a sudden, it's working. And you go back and you look at the last couple goals that he's been able to score, or his line's been able to score, and all of a sudden, you're just like, wait a second, that's what we were supposed to be seeing in October, November, and December before the Kraken were forced to go away from it. And it's given me a little bit of pause when it comes to the whole Dave Hakstol conversation, because this is obviously the style that Dave Hakstol has wanted to play all along. He just didn't really have the personnel for it. And Shane Wright gives him the personnel for at least one line to play that way. And I think then that becomes an interesting conversation for him and the front office come exit interview time, because it's the age old question when it comes to coaches: do you have your system and then the team needs to find guys to play in your system, or do you change your system based on the personnel that the team has put in around you? And this is in all sports, this becomes a question. And I think we're very much there right now with Dave Hakstol and Ron Francis, which is, it's clear Dave Hakstol this year wanted to play this way. He did not have the personnel for it. Now he has the beginnings of the personnel for it with Shane Wright. What happens, right? Do you go out? Do you keep Dave Hakstol and go out and find more guys that can play that system? I don't know. I mean, Maddie's taken strides at being net front and stuff. He had a fantastic night too, not to get lost in all this. Maddie, I think 3 points, right? Like, he was really solid too. So I don't know. It's a tough one, right? Like, it's going to be interesting, but it adds this other element to it that we certainly weren't talking about in relation to Dave Hakstol just a little while ago. So it's going to be interesting for sure for that. Going over into chat, Zoe, what a good home game. Stratic, anyone going to Hawaii? Yes, that was apparently the Alaska Airlines 32% off for the people in the building. It's to Hawaii. That's not bad. A lot better than some of the other destinations that they've been promoting in that this year. Daniel, did the eclipse send us back in time, gonna party like it's 2023? That's right. I mean, this felt like last year's Kraken team, right? Like, they were dominant. Yes, they got outshot. Yes, Grubauer had to come up big, but they were still kind of in control. Everything was just going their way, right? From Shane Wright shoveling one on net to Brandon Tanev picking up a goal to Philip Grubauer being able to make those second and third saves and on sequences. That's what last year's team was. It was a team that just showed up in the moments. The moments kind of warped around them and helped them out when they needed to. And they just got by on all of that. And they got by on the vibe. And that's what this team did. And to be honest, that's a lot of what this team has done since Shane has been there. Again, like, it's crazy. And I'm trying not to put too much emphasis on just Shane and what he's brought. But it's also pretty undeniable at this point that having him there, having him play that style, it just opens everything else up. It just does. And I know we haven't really seen it against a good team yet, right? The one game that he's been in against LA, he kind of disappeared. Him and his line kind of disappeared in that one, right? Like, we know that. And the rest of these games are going to get against Coyotes, Sharks, and Ducks. It's not like the greatest competition in the world. But you give him a full offseason, you give him a full training camp, you give him, you know, a handful of more games at the start of next season, and I think you're going to start seeing that result against better and better teams. And I think you're going to start seeing the rest of the team start to have chances open up because teams now have to account for something very different that they have not had to account for with the Seattle Kraken in the past. And it's going to be a really interesting one. The deserved to win-o-meter on this one from B. I know it's not pretty. I will pull it up here. I know it's not pretty. Nicole with the vintage Kraken. This is pretty vintage Kraken. I love that the Kraken are finally old enough to start having vintage Kraken moments. Wow, the deserved to win-o-meter sub 10% for the Kraken on this one. So yeah, getting by on vibes. Yeah, very much so on this one. Some more grooves. See that one there from Elizabeth Michael. Shane is on fire. Absolutely. Fire is on Shane Wright, I should say. Lindsay, another game-winning goal for Shane Wright. That's true. Just keeps compiling those. He is just an all-timer when it comes to collecting game-winning goals. What can we say? Dude's just built different. Edward, well, that was fun for my first time in the ECH Discord. Oh, you were in there. Oh, I should have been in there. Apologies. I glad you had a good time though, Edward, and it was great seeing you at Flatstick on Friday. Christian, so many things to say, all good, don't know where to begin. That's what I'm saying. Like, there was so many good things for this one. Like, the, you know, like we talked about Tanev. I mean, Berkey picks up another one. Oliver Bjorkstrand, not to get lost, had like a million points tonight, was setting up everybody, right? Justin Schultz shows up, buries a fun one. Like, this was really, really solid. Elizabeth, the Tanev goal in this economy. I know. Oh, I'm happy for him though. I'm hoping that this kind of turns things around a little bit for him. That is my hope anyway. Olivia Shane, 15:51 time on ice. Look at him go. Yeah, there's no reason not to really load up on him, especially because they're going to probably, you know, they're going to send him back after the next game against the Sharks. But there's definitely no reason not to do that. It is good stuff. Elizabeth, I'm so sad I couldn't be there next year. Yes, definitely, Elizabeth, for sure. Sam, we turned what could have been an ugly game into getting the hockey guy no mercy magnet. Also, in four games since the call-up, Shane's got three game-winning goals. He's clutch. He's just a clutch performer. Like, that's what he is. He is just the man when it comes to this stuff. So really, really great there. Lindsay, it's a shame the Kraken aren't going to the postseason because Grubauer is in peak playoff form right now. He is. He's really, really heated up here. I mean, he is playing just like he did late last season when he did kind of help them out in the playoffs, and they were able to kind of go on a run there. Like, he is really, really getting going, and I'm really, really happy for him after another difficult year, right, where he gets injured, the other guy comes in, plays lights out, gets the big moment in the Winter Classic, right? Not to take things away from Joey or say that it's bad that Joey did those things, but from Grubauer's perspective, it's just got to be like another year where you're just like, oh my gosh, this guy's Martin Jonesing me again, right? Like, it's got to be tough, so I'm happy for him. Let's see. Fusion Mix, I don't know how the deserved to win a meter works, but it is very flattering to Grubauer. Yes, it is in this one for sure. I'm looking at the shot chart now for Arizona, and oh my gosh, yes, the expected goals for Arizona, 4.84. So Grubauer, right, goals saved above expected. It's a nice night for him, definitely. Lindsay, did y'all hear Shane Wright roasting Joey Decord in the post-game interview for messing up his fishy? No. Oh, that sounds like fun. I'm going to have to look that up on Twitter after this one. Really feeling the fourth line, kid line next season more and more. Let's go from Josh. Yeah, I think that's something that we are going to see. Good on Logan Morrison too, right? He took two to the lower body tonight and able to come back both times. That second one especially looked really, really rough. So I'm very, very happy that happened there. And Lindsay, Lomo deserved to score a goal after all the abuse his body took tonight, but I believe it'll come this season. Definitely, definitely. I mean, it is a good one for sure. Let's see. And this isn't Shane's first ever fish sheet as well. About time to... And isn't this Shane's first... Is it? Ooh, if it is, that's oh, that's spicy. I can't wait to go watch the video of that. I really can't. Nicole, Gru had to have a shutout because he really wanted Shane to get another game-winning goal. It's possible. It is very, very possible. I love that. Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Jody, it's like Turbo heard we thought he needed to step up. Yeah, I mean, he has needed to step up for a little while and get going, and he's needed to finish, right? And I think everybody could could agree on that. I'm sure he could agree on that, that it's been a rough season when it comes to finishing for him. And he was able to pot one tonight, and it was a good one. And it was like a definitive good one. It wasn't like a weird fluky thing. It was, no, he was in the right spot. He got the puck, he buried it. Right. Like it's a definite confidence builder of, I played the right way, I was rewarded in kind. That's what I can take moving forward. I like that. Charles, a cracked win. The kids got to play. Finally, a right decision. I see what you did there, Charles. Good stuff. It is true, though. Autocat, introducing Kraken hockey to my brother tonight, his first game. And this is what he got to witness. Incredible. Incredible indeed. That is a fantastic first game for your brother. Very, very happy for you both. Got to imagine your brother is now a Kraken fan for life. I don't see how you could go to a game like this and not end up a huge Kraken fan afterwards. Like, there's just no way. There's just no way. RJ with the Grubauer Davy Jones hat. So there we go. Get our early answer there. Had to be, right? Like, it had to be. It just had to be. It had to be him. Ricky, 6 entry-level contracts in the lineup tonight. All that one could hope for. That is certainly what you have been calling for all year, Ricky. That is definitely true. And it is a great good glimpse into the Kraken's future with all the young guys in the lineup. I know I've talked a lot about Shane. We talked a little bit about Logan Morrison, Ryan Winterton, especially in the role that he's in right now on that third line, on the fourth line, excuse me, where he's just kind of picking up whatever slack exists out there on the ice, and he's just kind of plugging the holes as they pop up. We know he can play more, and he can do more, and in the future he will do more. But even him just kind of quietly doing that, doing a lot of the unsung hero work throughout this, has been really, really good to see, and I'm really, really happy about that for him. And he's playing so well. He's playing so well. Griffin Games wore his jersey at CPA for the first time tonight, and boom, go 51. Yes, I imagine that we are going to start seeing more and more Shane Wright jerseys at games. I how could we not, right? After this, and after what it really means for next year. I'm so pumped for him next year. I mean, we'll talk about it on the deep dive tomorrow. My expectations for him just keep going up for next season. I know that he shouldn't, and I shouldn't put a bunch of that pressure and all of that stuff, but just given the way he plays, it's just so what the Kraken needed. And Lindsay's Dylan calling for Joe Netfront Pavelski to the Kraken. I would definitely not say no. He would help out this team immensely, not just from, you know, playing net front and the goal scoring and all the great stuff that Joe Pavelski could do, but I mean the leadership side of things as well. Being able to teach other guys on the team, right? He would be able to kind of maybe take Shane Wright to the next level of playing net front, to have a mentor like that around Matty Beniers as he's starting to go net front more and more. To have a mentor like Joe Pavelski around would be a big deal. We saw how much having a guy like Pierre Edward Belmar in the locker room for things like faceoffs has helped guys, right? Could you imagine a guy like Joe Pavelski doing that for the net front stuff? Schultz with the $2 super chat here. Are they showcasing Gru for off-season trade? It's a good question. I don't think so, right? I think at the end of the day, the Grubauer contract's probably untradeable. It's just a lot, unless you were going to retain a significant amount of money, which doesn't really make sense for the Kraken to do. I just don't see anybody going out and wanting to get a goaltender who's going to be 33 next year with 3 years worth of term at that cap hit. I know he's played well and he can play well, but he hasn't played lights out consistently enough, I think, for somebody to want to go out there and acquire that kind of contract. I don't even know at 50% retained, realistically, what somebody would give up for him. And he has a no trade clause as well. So you got to, it's a modified one. He submits a 10 team no trade list, but still you'd have to factor that in as well. So yeah, unfortunately, no, I don't think that's going to be a thing. And then Andrew was so much fun. Going to miss these home games during the break. Yes, it's going to be rough, right? There's only one home game left, and nights like tonight, I mean, it looked, the building looks so electric. It looked like so much fun. I talked with some people who were there for it. It just looks like so much fun. It's always sad at the end of the year when it's got to kind of go away. And especially this year with without having the playoffs to look forward to and kind of the energy and the up and down nature that brings to this, just be a hard out and we just know what it is and it's Thursday. It is sad. And it's going to be a long time till October when Kraken home games are played again. I guess September technically for preseason, but it is bittersweet. That is for sure. It is bittersweet. Jenna, I wish we'd brought up Shaner in January. I understand what they're doing with his development, but he was ready and we needed those goals. It is an interesting question in hindsight. And I was going to ask RJ this on the deep dive tomorrow. That we can kind of go over like a mini what if they had called up Shane sooner. Because I'm with you. What we're seeing from Shane right now is very much what he established over November, December with Coachella Valley. And he's more or less been locked in to it, this style of play anyway, this kind of aggressive and confident go to the middle of the ice, go to the interior of a defense and take charge. Like that happened very early on in Coachella Valley. It's not like this is something that he put together in February and then, you know, we're seeing that translate to the NHL now. He really has played the majority of this year that way. And so I definitely see where you're coming from, Jenna, and there is a part of me that wonders about that too, was the fact that he might have helped them, you know, be in a playoff spot right now. Would that have been worth the ELC? I could probably already guess where RJ's going to go with that question. He'll put his GM hat on and say no. But it's still an interesting one to kind of talk about. Cause I think, you know, you could make a legitimate case that it might have been. In that what if universe. Brooke, Borgen goal was at CPA wearing my Winter Classic Borgen jersey. That's fantastic. And obviously got the goal in the Winter Classic wearing that jersey. So fun all the way around, Brooke. But that's another thing, right? We got a Billy Borg's goal in this one, as Lindsay would say. And I mean, there's just so many components and elements to this one. I think CJ Berkey was a whirlwind tonight. I mean, this was just a really good, solid all-around performance. And it was one of those that just reminds you how good this team was last year, but could have been this year if they had been able to string things together, if they had been able to avoid some of the bad streaks, if they had been able to, you know, maybe play with a little bit more confidence at times this year too, right? To go out there and play like this and have fun and not feel so much of the pressure. That I think ultimately as we get to the end of the year and you look back on it, I do wonder how much of the expectation after last season's run really they put on themselves and the struggles out of the gate that they had, the struggles in December that they had, the struggles here late, right? When they were still in and around a playoff spot. And they were trying to get to right now where the schedule really lightened up and they just weren't really able to. Again, talk about some what if universe questions there. I don't know. Let's see. For getting by on vibes, those were some good vibes from Edward. They were indeed. Sam, did you guys see the news about that freaky good 14-year-old defenseman that just got exceptional status with the Silvertips in prime position to draft him? Going to be cool seeing him develop locally. Yes. His name is escaping me right now, but it is fantastic that going to be in and around the area there. The Silvertips are absolutely going to take is it Tri-City that's going to take him? It might be Tri-City who got the first pick. Oh, now I don't remember. Put me on the spot. It might be Tri-City. Either way, local, right? That's going to be good stuff there. Let's see. Is this the best goalie money puck expected goals performance of the year? +482 night for Gru. It's a good question, Anthony. I don't know a way to quickly look that up on the spot, especially without having RJ here to kind of help fill time. But that is good stuff. Julia Piper said it was Shane's first. So there we go. It is his first fishy. Congrats to everybody who was there for that. Borky sets a career high in points. Maddie and Shane points. Grew shutout. This is what the home fans deserved. Also, not to Erm, actually, but there was 7 ELCs on the ice for us tonight from Light. No, good stuff there. You're right. I mean, this is what the home fans deserved. They really, really needed this, and they deserved it because they've been showing up. They've been showing up for this team so much. Yeah, no, they're really happy. And 7 ELCs, yeah, that does check out. Oh my gosh, look at them all down there. Shane Wright, Maddie Beniers, Logan Morrison, Ty Cartier, Ryan Winterton, and of course, Riker Evans. So that's, wait a second, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 6, right? Right? Unless I'm missing somebody else. I don't know. The point is, there is a lot, and the future is bright, and that's what's exciting, because the Kraken fans needed that hope. They just kind of needed that hope. Let's be real. Hopefully the Kraken get one more win for the fans on Thursday, then lose the rest of the road games to help our draft position. Yeah, I think we're going to have to give up on the whole draft position thing. The Kraken are just winning way too many games. I know the schedule made it like impossible, but they've won way too many games. I think it's just let's root for them to continue to build confidence for next season. Don't worry about draft position too much, because they're going to be picking like 10. The idea of going 7, 8 probably isn't going to happen at this point. So after fan appreciation night against the Sharks on Thursday, does Shane get sent back to Coachella Valley? Seems like the best time to do so. From Sam, that is what the plan was, according to Ron Francis. So I don't see why that would change. You would have technically one game more that you could keep him up without burning the year on his ELC. But I don't know why you would take him to start a road trip just to then ship him back. I feel like that's still a very good natural conclusion to the Shane Wright thing. Experience, we'll call it. Why not? So I think he's just going to go back to Coachella Valley after that on Thursday. I just think it makes too much sense for them. Let's see. I love the idea of Pavelski from Jake. Oh, definitely. Right. Like that would be so, so good. So, so good. Light. Also, I was sad it wasn't mentioned on the broadcast, but Coco getting a shutout against the team that gave up on him in Liga to take a 3-0 series lead is a great story. It is a fantastic story, Light. I mean, Nicholas Coco, what he's been able to do to turn his season around after being moved to the Pelicans has been incredible. We talk about it on the Patreon prospect chats. We've talked about it for a long time here, but he has just been so lights out. It's been fantastic. And then that was kind of like just a really great spot for him there. Let's see. Donuts for Grubauer and the huge reverse hit from Bjorkstrand. Reflecting for me is shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I'm excited for the future from Alan. Very good. Yeah, I understand that. Like, there's not too much point in going back and doing the what ifs and everything, but it is some interesting ones for this game, for this year, I think. Anyway, Sam, yeah, I think Coco's closer to next level than we think, especially if he keeps that up. He certainly looks like it the last couple months. Sam, I think if we brought up Shane earlier in the year, would have had the same lineup struggles as Riker had this year. Very true. Very true. If they knew they were keeping him around for a while, that's it was going to be a thing. Landon DuPont. Yeah. Yeah. And it is the Silver Tips because of the Zellweger trade. That's right. That's right. The Landon DuPont. Yes. Oh, the kid is really good. He's going to be really, really good. Thanks for that, Sam. Let's see. SJ, time is finally catching up to Pavelski this year. A little bit. Yes. He's dropped off some, but you know, he's still a guy. And like I said, having him in the locker room, having him, especially with a guy like Shane Wright on the roster who wants to play that way, to have him there where he can give him pointers, where he can teach him, he can give him that hands-on stuff, I think would be really, really important. I think it would be really, really important. Let's see. RJ, did you send link to join? I thought so. Let me just double check that. I might have had a moment like he had a little while ago when I was in Arizona. So let me just resend the link for RJ to join us here, and then we will get going with him and we can hear all about everything that happened in the locker room there. There we go. Oh, now you're here. Make up your mind, RJ. Where are you going to be? Where are you going?
I'm here, Dylan. Sorry about that. The email delivered very late, but I'm here. And yeah, it's a good vibes here, Dylan. I think everyone was happy in the locker room after a big win.
Yeah, no, it was a huge win for the Kraken in this one. I mean, there's so many elements to break down. Grubauer, Tanev scoring, Berkey scoring. I mean, everybody was getting going. What to you was the thing that really stood out most?
I think what stood out most to me was Philip Grubauer in this one, because the Kraken allowed a lot of chances. I mean, you look at the expected goals in this one, and even though the 5-0 scoreline makes it seem like a rout, and in ways it was, I mean, Grubauer had to stand on his head and make some really clutch saves at key moments. And of course, you know, being the guy that he is, the German gentleman, he credited his teammates quite a bit. But he did say, and he said, there were times, especially in the second period, where I'll change the word he used, but they saved my butt in certain situations there. But he was very glad to have the shutout. He was actually asked, do you know how many career shutouts you have? And he said, I don't know, maybe 21 or 22. And he was spot on. This was his 22nd. So he did know that.
I was going to say, how would you not know that if you're him, right? Like, I feel like if I was an NHL goaltender, I would know exactly. And then I would probably try to play it cool like that. Like, oh, I don't know, somewhere in like this mm-hmm. range and give the exact number. I think that's pretty on brand there. Shane Wright, RJ. Can't stop, won't stop. Game-winning goals, man.
I know. 3 game-winning goals in 4 games since coming up. Every game the Kraken have won since this call-up. He scored the game winner, and it felt a little bit different tonight being so early into the game. And not the prettiest goal too. He even kind of laughed when asked about the goal and, you know, how it went. And he's like, well, you know what? They all count the same. That's what I'll say. But it shows him going to the right areas, right? And being willing to put a puck on net that maybe not everybody would.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because I've talked a lot about how he makes the triangle work, how him going to the front of the net and all that stuff. But that's the other component that we've talked about in the past that the Kraken need is just a willingness to put pucks on net, right? Like that.
And Shane absolutely has that.
Yeah, he has that. He has no problem for it. And I think it's spreading, RJ, because Matty Beniers did it a couple times in this game and some other guys are starting to do it. And so I do think that that's going to start spreading. That's going to start getting around. If he continues to have success, I think other guys are going to notice and try to follow suit. At least that's the hope anyway.
I think so. And also, we talked about good habits getting coached out of players and our worries about that. I think we could see the opposite. We could have good habits just spreading, right? If they work, other guys are going to pick up on that. And especially when it's not a goalie's night, like Karel Vemelko was not good tonight. And I think the Kraken kind of picked up on that, threw more pucks than that. You look at the Borgen goal to cap things off. I mean, that's just a point shot. He was probably looking for a tip, but goes right through him. You know, you take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, it was a rough night for Vemelka. There's no way around that one. Like the Killer Bees and the Shane line outclassed the Yotes consistently. Tonight felt like the first time, like ever, that we had a real top six. It did kind of have that vibe to it.
I loved what the Killer Bees line was bringing. I mean, you look at their goal coming from their own end all the way to the other side really fast. Right? Like that breakout, it just threw the zone. Burakovsky, I love him going from right to left to kind of intercept the puck instead of the defenseman for the Coyotes that was pinching in, work the puck up, create the 2-on-1 and create that goal. I mean, you see the speed that they're capable of playing with and you just hope the chemistry builds.
I believe that was also off of the Matty pressure where he kind of forced the pass to not go right too. Yeah, you know, it was just like a total like teamwork thing, and it felt like they all had really good chemistry. Right, I liked what we saw from Bjorkstrand and Matty at the beginning of the year, but it felt like for the first time, like Berkey was really on the same page as his line mates, right? Like regardless of who they were, like this was the most in sync I feel like I've seen Andrei Burakovsky with the Seattle Kraken in the now, well, I would say 2 years, but really 1 year's worth of games he's been able to play.
Right, and it's been almost like a 2 year search, right, for the right fit for Andrei Burakovsky on a line, and I think a big part of their success or failure next season is going to depend on, can you find a spot for them that's more permanent? Because just bouncing around from one line to the other, it just doesn't work for them.
Right. And then thoughts on the kids, RJ, because they cycle back into the lineup for this one. We get Lomo, we get Ryan Winterton. And I thought that they played really well again. Again, it was solid. It wasn't maybe as in your face as the first couple games, right, when they were called up a week or so ago. But the work that they're able to put in a little bit more of a traditional fourth line role now was still really, really solid. And it still gives kind of a good glimpse to next year, I felt like.
Yeah, they were given a set matchup and they won that matchup. And you said it wasn't as in your face, but I still think you saw them kind of grinding it out. And especially in scrums afterward, Winterton got involved in a couple. Morrison with a key shot block late in the game that kind of stung him. But Haxtell had good things to say about that group. And I hope they stay, and I hope they keep getting games, because this is the level of play that we saw from them before they came out of the lineup. And they're, in my opinion, you know, there's no real good reason to take them out of the lineup at that point. So I'd like to see them have that room to continue it.
Yes, that would be good. People are loving the rave lights there, RJ Edward with the disco. Yeah. RJ, it is good. Brooke wants to know, what song were they playing in the locker room?
I didn't hear any songs playing in the locker room after this one. Yeah, maybe we got in too late or whatever it was. But no, it's not every game that we hear songs playing. Sometimes they are just absolutely blasting something. Other times you don't hear anything. Yeah. More often than not, you don't hear anything.
Yeah. Shane for captain, for Stephanie there. We've been talking about it. I think there's starting to be a chance for that down the line.
Yeah, down the line is all I was gonna add. Yeah.
I've talked about it earlier, but the idea of Shane being sent down or kept up after Thursday, thoughts? He's going down, right?
He's going down. I don't think it helps you to take him on one game of the road trip. Just send them all the way out. It's Dallas first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have them travel all the way out to Dallas just for one additional game. I don't know that it's worth it. I mean, the only exception I could see is that if Francis's kind of messaging right to everybody was, you're going to get the five games for sure, and then you could play the sixth one if you play well. Like, that's the carrot. You get to stay up for one extra one, in which case, absolutely, you give it to him because he's done everything you could ask. But I don't think there's really a need to do that. Let him go back to the AHL, gear up for the playoffs, and man, just go dominate down there.
I know. The only reason maybe you do it is just because it's the first half of a back-to-back, so it means like you're giving an extra day on, say, Jared McCann to rest up if he needs it still or something like that. That would be the reason I could see, maybe. Zoe, did you all pick your favorite goals yet? No, we have not. Was waiting for RJ. RJ, do you have a favorite goal tonight? Got plenty to choose from.
I know. I think it's the one that I described earlier, just with that quick breakout with the Killer Bees line, and just they were buzzing, right? They showed that speed that they can come with through the neutral zone and just caught the Coyotes completely flat-footed. I think that one had to be my favorite.
I as much as I want to say the Shane Wright one, just because of like the future and him doing stuff that everybody needs to do, I might have to go with the Justin Schultz one, just because like it was kind of, again, similar situation to the other one, but it was like, wow, that's how you could play those odd man rush situations, and how you probably should all along, which is make the pass and then just shoot it.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of misplayed odd man rush situations from the Kraken over the course of the season. It was refreshing to see them handle them really well tonight.
Yeah, and I thought Bjorkstrand just, I mean, we've talked about him already, but he just had a fantastic night in this one. Yeah. Let's see. Isn't this also the first match between Shane and Logan Cooley? Man, I wish we had another match against Montreal from Sam. The top guys from that draft class. It's exciting.
That would be so fun right now. Of course, Slafkovský with the hat trick today for Montreal in their 9-2 win. Just kind of keeping pace with each other, right? I mean, it's looking, Dylan, a lot like that draft, which I think we kind of at the time regarded as kind of weak at the top. That's why all those guys were in consideration, right? It just didn't feel like there was a true bona fide superstar. It's looking a lot stronger than we thought, that maybe all of those guys were pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's certainly that top four looks really good.
Yeah.
Although there's been, you know, times where it's taken a while for Slafkovský to figure it out. Logan Cooley, it's still kind of taking time for him to figure it out, right? He came out hot and then the rookie wall hit hard for Logan Cooley. And
speaking,
you know,
of a hard been good. Yeah, go ahead.
Go for it. No,
I was saying, speaking of a hard hit to Logan Cooley though, how about that Oliver Bjorkstrand reverse hit? He's been in the league a little while, Cooley, but that felt like a welcome to the NHL moment.
It did. It really, really did. No, it was a fantastic one. I loved seeing that. And just, I mean, the nastiness from Bjorkstrand also too, defending himself against Clayton Keller afterwards. Like, it was just like a really solid all around play. And it's one of those things where I'm also like we weren't seeing that stuff from the Kraken, or certainly guys like Oliver Bjorkstrand on the Kraken really at all this year. Right. Wow. Like, that's a new development that the Kraken could play that way, that somebody like Oliver Bjorkstrand on this team could play that way. That is something that is only happening now, and only happening now after Shane Wright's been in the lineup.
I that's true. I guess, maybe coincidence, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, it is a newer development, and it's just great to see from guys. Because I like with how this game went, right? The Kraken scored two quick goals, and the Coyotes responded at least right away by being really physical. I mean, they sent Liam O'Brien and company out there, and they were just trying to finish every check they could for a solid 2-3 shifts. But, and the Kraken, you know, you have a couple options there. You could try and just sidestep them and stay away from it. But I thought they responded physically, and they showed, no, we're not going to be thrown around, especially as the game got more and more out of hand score-wise. That's really important. So the Coyotes don't feel like they can take liberties with you and let that frustration get to them.
Yeah, agreed. Julia asking, will Lomo and Winterton go down when Shane does? I don't think so. I think they're here for the rest of the year, RJ.
I agreed. I think they are, and I think they should be. I mean, it just makes sense, right? They are not under the same timeline as Shane is from the ELC standpoint. They don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Maybe they get sent down a game or two early just to kind of be able to get into that rhythm with the Firebirds again. But I still think you could send them down at the end of the season. They wouldn't have any trouble just getting right back into it in the AHL.
No, I don't think so either. And I think it's good for their development. It's also good for the Kraken too, if they just need to rest guys. Coachella Valley has what, 6 games left to their season. So it would kind of line up that they would go down right in time for the playoffs if they were able to hang around. But I think the whole idea was that, you know, you want to see what they're going to be for next year. You want them to be potentially your fourth line next year. Might as well give them all the reps you can right now because you're in a position to do so. And I think right.
These are kind of consequence-free games that you have, you can give them. You're not going to have those again for many more months at the very least. You hope you don't have them again for a long time, but this is your chance now.
Yep. And then another CV question here from Sam. Now that Newman's officially with Coachella Valley, where do you think he slots into their lineup? I was just looking at that. I think it might be a game or so, right? It's going to take time for him to get there and acclimate to everything, all of that kind of stuff. It's going to be interesting, right? Obviously, he had a fantastic season in Liga, scored a ton of goals, RJ, all of that stuff. His skating is a real question mark for me. His physical play is a real question mark for me. So that transition to North American ice, I got to think they would ease him in. Now, maybe they don't, right? Like I always say to ease them in, and sometimes that isn't the right approach. See Shane Wright. But I got to think just from a skating standpoint, you might want to have to ease him in, give him power play time for sure. But maybe third line would be where I would go with him.
I agree with you there. And also because I think he has the frame and the size to play in that bottom six role right away. And he's not going to look out of place as opposed to maybe a Jagger Furkus. If you're bringing him up and having him get involved, putting him in a third or fourth line role, I don't know that's the position for him to succeed. But Newman, I have no reservations there.
Yeah, no, for sure. B, how likely do you think it is that Grubauer gets the start again versus the Sharks since he's been playing so well right now?
I mean, the way they're treating the goalie tandem, it seems like Grubauer is getting more starts as things are going on. It almost seems like they want to kind of ramp him up, get him ready for the start of next year and build that confidence. It would not surprise me to see Grubauer start the next game. Although I can't zero in on a definite tactic that Hakstol is using at this point.
Right. No, but it does feel like he's kind of going hot hand approach, right? This doesn't feel like they've mapped out all of the starts for the rest of the season and they're just sticking to like a schedule. It doesn't feel like that at all. So I think there's a chance. I really do. And you know, although it's the last home game of the year, I could see them maybe at least scheduling out these two, right? Each guy gets one last home game and then the road trip, you kind of go with whatever. I could see
that. Given where they are in the standings too, the fans, that is a consideration at this point. This is something that the players and coaches have talked about. That's what winning these two games is all about. Is the fans and giving them the show that they want. So that might actually factor in.
Definitely. Light, I'm going to sound mean. That's, I think, the first time you've ever said that, Light, so pay attention. But I really felt like tonight showed why Lomo and Winterton still need time to grow in the AHL. The Yotes are a very fast team, but it wasn't encouraging tonight from the kids. Interesting. See, I took what they did, RJ, as very much like they played a traditional fourth-line role. It wasn't flashy, but they you know, they did as well as anybody else, right? Like, obviously, Winometer's sub 10%. It wasn't like anybody was doing a great job against the Coyotes tonight. I felt like they did an okay enough job. that, you know, again, you kind of want to keep giving them the opportunities to grow and learn from games like this. But I don't think they were that bad.
No, I think the deficiencies were, you know, were no more than you look at the other lines and their respective breakdowns. You know, it's so hard to judge because none of them ended up in the back of their net. And so we don't really have anything definitive to point to any more than any of the other chances, because look, this team gave up breakaways, this team gave up 2-on-1s, they gave up rebounds. I don't know. This is a hard one to evaluate when you try and focus in on an individual player or line.
Yeah. Andrew with the super chat, totally loved their physicality this game. Agreed. I mean, we talked about it. It was really, really solid for sure. Like this too, Christian had asked, is Garth going down to Coachella Valley at the end of the season? And Rebecca giving credits to Becca for pointing out on the Discord that they did the that light was also put in here. Community taking care of itself is what's going on here. That the Kraken did the paper move at the deadline explicitly so that he could be part of that run, that playoff run for the Firebirds there. Let's see. Elizabeth, I'm a bit miffed that they only get their boxing gloves out now, but better late than never.
I mean, you know, I match those sentiments too. We, you know, in earlier games this season, we talked about maybe the lack of physicality and complained about it, but yeah, better late than never. And you just hope this stuff builds toward next season and they keep that in mind and look at the positive results it's getting them now.
Yeah. No, it's true. Ricky pointing out that COVID really messed up that 2022 draft. It is true. Like, they all missed a lot of development time there. And so that did kind of muddy the waters for a lot of these guys, because you weren't looking at a fully formed draft eligible prospect like you normally would. Similar to the draft before that, too. Schultz, which late season prospect adds to Coachella Valley will boost their Kraken chances for next year? I don't know how many realistically will, right? Like, this team and this organization has been very patient, right? We're just seeing Ryan Winterton and Logan Morrison looking like they might have chances for next year at the tail end of this one after playing vast majority of a full season in Coachella Valley. Like, I think they're high on a lot of guys, but I don't know that if, you know, Goyette goes in or Furkus or Newman or whoever, and they play really lights out, I don't know that that still means they're going to have a super legitimate shot at the Kraken roster next year.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're just a little bit further out, and this organization isn't one to rush guys.
Yeah, they really like to be patient when it comes to letting everybody cook down below. That's certainly the way they've run with, like, Shane Wright and all that kind of stuff. Oh, let's see. I got the wrong one. Becca was being credited for the undrafted goal thing. Okay, so that was the next one. Light, fun fact, the Tanev goal was a goal that was scored and assisted purely by undrafted players. That's pretty cool. Huh.
That is cool.
Like, I wonder how many of goals have been scored like that in NHL history, because I can't imagine it's very many.
No, because, I mean, you look at the majority of the players in the league have been drafted, and all it takes is just some. I mean, you know, I guess every time you have, like, an unassisted goal by an undrafted player, technically that's the case. Were there two assists on it?
Yeah.
That would make it harder, yeah.
Yeah, Gordon Cartier.
I figured that was the case. Yeah, where there was a goal with two assists where all three players involved were undrafted. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no,
And good for Tanev scoring that one. I'm sure you've talked about it already, but you could tell even after he went back to the bench, he was pretty fired up that he had put one in. He didn't react a lot right away because it was just the tap-in nature of the goal. Yeah. But, you know, it's his first goal in 27 games where he's actually shot a puck into the net. And, you know, that means a lot to him.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, the fact that he scored a goal scoring goal. Like, it wasn't like a fluky thing. It wasn't like a weird whatever off his skate or something. It was like, no, he made no bones about it. That was a goal. Sam, to round out the prospect talk, I think Chalet is really starting to find his form in Kitchener, as he's over a point per game player in the playoffs so far. Still got a lot of promise, just needs time. Yes, I mean, this was the whole situation. I mean, all year really for Chalet, it's just been give him time, let him figure it out, let him get guys around him, and then he gets traded. You know, for in Barrie, that was the problem. Gets traded to Kitchener, then Kitchener implodes, right away after making that trade, and all their star players kind of disappear for a little while, but things are definitely turning around, and he has been absolutely cruising this playoff so far in the OHL, RJ.
Yeah, did you see the honor that was bestowed upon him today?
Yes, that wonderful, wonderful honor that the OHL gets to bestow upon people with their wonderful, wonderful sponsor that I don't even know we can say on YouTube. Like,
yeah,
that worrying about
demonetization,
which tells you a lot about the state of the OHL these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a burrito shop named after a certain Austin Powers character, we'll just say that much.
Yeah, there you go. It's ridiculous. But I'm really, really happy for Chalet kind of playing this well and having the success that he's having here, because it's been such a rough year for him. I know there's just been so many conversations around him throughout the year and all of that. So it's just nice to kind of see him having this success here. And with the 8 points in 6 games so far. So really, really solid stuff there. Ricky saying Kraken have been too patient at times. Right, ought to have been up 4 months ago. Evans wasted a month in the press box. Said we were going to talk about this a little bit on the deep dive tomorrow, RJ, a little bit about the what if of if the Kraken should have called up Shane Wright. I mean, do you have like an immediate thought you want to get out there tonight about it?
Sure. I don't think they should have called him up earlier. I actually like the handling of it. And you're seeing the results right now where he's going in and hitting the ground running. I don't know that you could assume that if he was called up a few months ago. And maybe you have a chance to kind of, you know, quote unquote, save the season a little bit more as things were hanging in the balance standing wise. I don't think it's worth it for his long-term development. He needed stability, and I'll get more into it on the podcast, but that's my take.
Yeah. And then let's see, super chat here from Jeremiah. They won't be sitting Macklin Celebrini if they miraculously win the draft lottery. I will let you know how he looks in person as I'm heading to Minnesota for the Frozen Four as media. How about that? Good to see you. Incredible news from Sportsbeard there, RJ.
Awesome. Love that for you, Jeremiah. Yeah. You got to let us know all the details, how he looks as media. That's amazing. Absolutely love to hear that.
Yes, and I remember what a great time you had at the Frozen Four last season. It was great, you know, following you on Twitter as you went through all that good stuff. It looked like you had just a fantastic time for that one. So really happy that you're going to get to, you know, kind of go behind the scenes for it this year. Mm-hmm. On the media side of things. Very, very happy for you. Thank you so much for the super chat. And yes, good to see you too. It's been a while. Let's see. The Kraken owe RJ this disco party after having to watch so many home losses. They owe everybody, all the fans who have to go to the home games.
Yeah, me least of all. No, it's the fans. It's all about the fans who show up to all these games. But it's good that they're able to kind of finally reward them a bit. And I do think of year one, right, with all the losses and the home losses and everything. The end of the year for fan appreciation night, they went out there and they shut out the Sharks, and they had a huge win that let us all celebrate. And I know they're, you know, they think that's important. You know, they do value that, everybody on the team. And so, you know, they're definitely thinking about that right now.
Yeah. And like,
maybe not that game specifically, but, you know, rewarding yeah. The fans.
And light pointing out real quick here, the Kraken now have more home wins than road wins this season. Just want to put that out there, Lowell.
Hooray.
Neither was a high bar to clear. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
That Kraken fan page official with the super chat. Hey, why no start for Yamamoto? I really want to see how he'll do with the kids. I think he'd cook for sure. Super underrated player. Also, Joey starts soon. So what about Yams, RJ? Because we haven't seen him in a little while.
Yeah, I mean, I think really what it comes down to for him is that he's a player that's probably not going to be around next season. He is an RFA, but they're not going to qualify him just given the amount that his contract is at. So basically, he's going to be a free agent. I think he's probably going to go elsewhere. I think he kind of knows that. The team kind of knows that. And so as a result, they're giving playing time to guys like Morrison and Winterton, who they know will be around next year in the organization and have some of those chances. So it's as simple as that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's unfortunate and is a little sad and everything, but it is what it is. And I see Brooke saying, you know, what's going on with Yams and Tuna. It's a similar situation for Tatar, right? Like he's a UFA at this point, you know, at the end of the year. Like he's Yeah, she's just sneaking in there for that.
I love the mid-answer treats there for Afra.
Yeah, yeah, like he's a UFA who's not realistically going to be back. Like, I would be shocked if they re-signed him because it's blocking the chance of a Logan Morrison or a Ryan Winterton or, you know, Macklin Celebrini if they win the lottery, right? Like, you need those spots available to you. So unless you're going to start trading away other guys that have term left on their contract, I just think any of those guys with that kind of expire at the end of this year, it's just the situation we're in.
Yep.
Elizabeth, there goes our shootout chances, lol. That is true. I guess we do need to keep Yams around just to, like, score in the shootout.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how Winterton and Morrison are in the shootout.
That's true. And Light pointing out Shane is pretty good in the shootout. So, you know, it's possible that next year we just go all kids.
I love it. If you're not going to go all defensemen, go all kids.
Yes. Why not? They have nothing to lose. By the way, just to get this out there, like, how awesome was Adam Larson? I know you weren't around because you were traveling today too. So you weren't around for, like, morning skate and stuff. But still, he was out there. He had the new dad energy. Maybe didn't put up like a million points like we've seen some other guys do, but it did feel like a little bit of a return to form for him.
Yeah, it did. I mean, he was himself again. And this morning, yes, I wasn't there at morning skate, but I heard the stories from people talking to him, and it wasn't officially confirmed. The baby thing wasn't, you know, to the media necessarily. So when they were talking to him, the first question, I think it was something like, so, you know, how was your time away from the Kraken the first time ever, you know, be not with them for a game? And he just paused for me. He's like, that was pretty great, if I'm honest.
That is some peak Adam Larson right there.
So Adam Larson. And of course, I'm sure he had a wonderful time away from the team, yes. You know, even though I'm sure he missed playing in the game.
Yes, no, it is really good. And Jessica saying, like, Lars has played tonight. I did too. I thought he played pretty well tonight. Edward, this year was an all-time high for Kraken players with food-related nicknames. It really was. Maybe we didn't do enough with it before the season kind of is coming to an end here, unfortunately. Viren pointing out, Logan Morrison is a shootout god for the Firebirds. And Light saying, Lomo has only not scored on one shootout attempt in the AHL all season of like five or six tries. That's an incredible conversion rate. Like, that is god tier status. So yeah, if they've got Logan Morrison, then I guess they don't have to worry about anything else. I'm going to see if that's one of the weird things that the AHL might actually track here, RJ.
Yeah, that would be good, because I'd like to ask him about that too. Because the Kraken have had their shootout struggles. I don't know that he's aware of how much the Kraken have struggled in shootouts. But yeah, if he's a shootout ace, apparently.
He's 4 of 5.
That's really good. I mean, you look at average shootout numbers, and they're, you know, 20% is even really good. It's, you know, it's probably even more impressive than a batting average, right? 4 of 5 is incredible.
Yeah, no, 80% is like insane. So, I mean, we've only got that 1 year's worth of data in the AHL, but that is significant. So that is good to know for sure. I'm going to quickly, like, it won't let me sort the Firebirds by shootout percentage. It's ridiculous. Devin Shore, second on the team at 42.9%, RJ. 3 of 7.
Wow. Not bad. Yeah, not bad.
Let's see. We'll do a quick last call here. Is there anything else that kind of stood out about this game, RJ, before, you know, we close up things here?
Let me think. I mean, I guess, you know, it was just nice to kind of have the atmosphere in the building, you know, in a game where there wasn't really any doubt. They kind of came out and took an early lead, and it felt like more of a celebration than any previous games for a while, I guess. It just kind of was a different vibe in the building tonight. I did get there, because as you mentioned, I was traveling earlier today. I got there like right at puck drop. And so it was good to see that from the very start.
Oh, definitely. Light pointing out, when you're as good as the Firebirds, it's hard to have a lot of shootouts, lol. Very true.
And that's a good point.
You just take care of business. That is difficult. Kylie, at least this season, we haven't struggled in the shootout, winning 3 of 4. Yes. No, it's been a big turnaround from in the past.
We got Kate Shefty here from the Seattle Times saying hello real quick. Surprise guest.
Fun. I don't even get to say hi back. All right, cool. Mary Kay.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that is good though. That is good. I think we could probably just leave it on that. Actually, I think that's a good place to leave it.
I think that's a good way to close it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Zoe saying, can you ask Kate what was on her sweatshirt this morning?
Oh, what was she just left? Did she take my credential? What the? She just ran off.
She just pickpocketed you, like.
I think so. I don't know where I put it down on the chair. She just grabbed it and left. I think I need to go track her down, Dylan.
That is some really awesome stuff right there. So we will let you all know what was on Kate's Shefty's sweatshirt.
Yeah. I'll get that answer for you. But
lots of love here, by the way, for Kate. Like, everybody super, super excited.
Oh, so, that's great to see. No, she's awesome, everybody. You all know.
Totally, totally. So that is fantastic. We will let you go and get your credential back. If
thank
you,
can. You.
Maybe it's too late. I want to thank everybody for joining.
Probably in the parking lot by now.
Yeah, another huge shout out to Flatstick Pub for sponsoring the Post Game Live as always. Can't wait to do more meetups next season, because that one on Friday was just really, really special and really, really fantastic. And we still need to do our mini golf tournament, RJ.
Oh, definitely. I got those competitive juices flowing. I need to beat you at mini golf.
Definitely. All right. We'll let RJ go run after Kate now, and we will see you all next time.